The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org, 88.1 FM on your radio dial. If you know what a radio dial is, you can tune into that. We are here today with Otto Loos. Otto Loos is our... How do you say the star, the...
No.
Where do you put it? I mean, a magnificent Project Independence member since day one, volunteer, member of advisories, radio, show, programs. I mean, Otto, you are and have been not just a Project Independence member, volunteer, advocate, but also have become a very close friend, I think, with everybody at Project Independence on staff. So, as usual, I'm honored.
I am the one who's honored. Right?
Oh, stop.
I think you guys run a great program, and that's why I get so involved, because I think the end goal of the program is great, and the people who run it are very conscientious and sincere about what they're doing, so therefore that's why I got very engaged in the program.
Well, we're just, as you know, we love you, Otto, and you did celebrate a birthday. We won't. We'll talk about that a little bit later, about your birthday celebration. There's a lot of love for you and Bunny as well.
Okay.
So Project Independence and You is one of the many, many programs that Project Independence offers, and this is a two-hour talk, senior talk radio show, and our guests are always incredibly valuable to our seniors because the information is always timely and important. And one of our guests today, Ron Fredula, who has been a frequent guest, and I've actually had the honor of talking to you. I think we've known each other for many years.
Many years now.
Going back. Ron, you're the managing attorney of Ronald Fredula and Associates.
Took us a long time to get that name. Figure that one out.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of competition for that name, huh? And your law firm focuses on elder law, estate planning, and special needs planning.
Correct.
So I think a lot of times those are three topics that probably some people have all three.
Unfortunately, yes.
They do.
Yeah, they do. And quite often, actually.
Yeah.
You know, you find sometimes a senior has a special needs child.
Right.
A child might be living with mom or dad that has issues, and we see that quite a bit.
Right.
So there could be Medicaid planning for the dad, the mom, the child. It could get very complex.
It sounds extremely complicated. But, you know, as we do know, with seniors that are aging in place in North Hempstead, we have a lot of seniors that are in that situation. Either they're, like you said, caring for a child or a spouse or, you know, a number of these things. So we were going to go right into it because I seem to remember that the last time you were here, we kind of at the end got into the whole topic of Medicaid.
Yes.
And we didn't really get to finish because it takes, there's so much information. So I'm thinking maybe we'll just jump right into it. And, you know, there's always, we talked a little bit about the stigma attached to Medicaid. Well, I don't, you know, versus Medicare, which is very different. And, you know, there's definitely a stigma. But as we get older, I think Medicaid has a completely different meaning. Can you kind of just elaborate a little bit what Medicaid actually means to somebody who is aging in place?
Sure. Actually, Medicaid could be the lifeline.
Right.
Because when somebody is aging in place, they want to stay at home. Home care is very expensive. So if the cost of 1 hour of even custodial care is $20 to $25 an hour, and they need 10 hours a day, figure it out, that's $250 a day times 365. Most seniors in Nassau County, and I live in the town of North Hempstead myself, can't afford it, simply can't afford it. So Medicaid is the lifeline. And how do you pay for long-term care? It's either private pay. Most people can't do it. If they're lucky enough and had the foresight to buy long-term care insurance, that's another way. Medicare does not pay for long-term care at the home, and certainly not enough hours for most of my clients.
Can we talk a little bit about long-term care and what that means? I mean, clearly it means different things for different situations.
Absolutely. Most people think of long-term care at home as having a home health attendant come into the home to help with activities of daily living, help an individual with bathing, dressing, feeding, toileting, continence, ambulating, etc. So to have someone come in so they can age in place. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the lifeline, because if you don't have the long-term care insurance, you don't have enough money, Medicaid is the way to do it. And I know you mentioned the word stigma, and boy, it gets me a little upset. Sure. Because sometimes I see some seniors who say, I'm not going to do this. And this is your lifeline, and there's right. nothing wrong with it. The program was meant to be used. And even the eligibility requirements and the way we get clients eligible is there for a reason. And I, whenever you get up to it, I'd love to talk a little bit about how to get eligible and what some of these eligibility sure. requirements are. There should be no stigma. I'm an attorney, and sometimes people ask me, are you sure this is legal? This is legal. This is what the law says you can do. And I urge anyone out there who's listening who needs care to take advantage of a program that's there and meant for you.
You know, one of the areas that I hear a lot of times, people are very confused about the fact that Medicaid has this image that it's nursing home and that's it, and you have 5-year look back or whatever the number is, mm-hmm. and I'll never qualify, and so on. Mm-hmm. But I think where we're going with this is the home care, the term community Medicaid, mm-hmm. which my understanding is that there's virtually no look back. There is some sort of look back. But is that the area that we're kind of looking at? Because Project Independence, yeah. the goal is to keep you in your own home.
Right. This is one of the keys to keep an individual at home. And so community-based Medicaid typically encompasses a home health attendant coming to the home. It could also encompass an ALP unit, an assisted living program bed at a Medicaid-funded assisted living. People should take advantage of that. There's a facility. There are a couple of facilities in Nassau County. So you did mention the look back. Yes, right. For nursing home care, there is a look back if you transfer or gift away assets to become eligible.
Right.
So what is that eligibility level? $14,850 plus some exempt resources. The main one, or main two, I should say. One would be retirement accounts and payout status. But we're talking about aging in place, and in mm-hmm. place is the home. And you could also keep the home that you own. But there was a wrinkle with the Deficit Reduction Act that's going to affect people in the town of North Hempstead, Nassau County in particular. And that says that the equity in your home, for you to be eligible for Medicaid, the equity in your home cannot exceed $840,000. Now, I have so many clients. My main office is here in Great Neck, and I also live in Great Neck. And we have so many clients that bought their homes years ago.
Right.
They're not rich. Mm-hmm. They bought their home years ago for $50,000, $100,000,
$75,000. Right.
Now they're worth $1.5 million, or even anything more than the $840,000. Medicaid says they're too rich.
Even though they can't use the money that's in that house.
They just want to live there.
They've
lived there for the last 60 years.
Right.
So this makes me pretty upset, because for $840,000, maybe someplace in the Midwest, you could buy a palace with all mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. bathrooms. And, you know, here it's just, you know, it's a plain home.
Is that approved already, or is that?
That's the highest federal allowable figure.
But is that an approved right now?
Right now, that's $840,000. But no. What you had mentioned before, Otto, was that there's no look back. So you could actually give away assets. So what we do before a client applies for Medicaid home care, if they have a home, even if it's at $840,000, we transfer that home, co-op or condo, into a Medicaid asset protection trust, get it out of their names into the trust, mm-hmm. not only for the homes that are valued at more than $840,000, but to avoid a Medicaid recovery on death.
So it's now, this is for community Medicaid as well.
Community Medicaid as well.
Right.
So, but since there's no look back, if someone has assets or they have a home, they could transfer the home today into the Medicaid trust, their assets over the only $14,850 plus retirement accounts and payout status. You know, God forbid if you suffered through the Holocaust and the German or Austrian reparations, that's exempt as well. There are a few exempt items. But then you're on your own, you know.
Just an out-of-the-box kind of question. I mean, a lot of these homes that do have values that are 850 and above or 840 and above, where maybe a senior is living by him or herself because they're widowed and maybe they're frail and yet they can, you know, still get their needs met. When their taxes, when you're in a home that's worth that much, your taxes, your property taxes are astronomical, probably 20 and above.
Yeah.
And that's just not taken into account when a house has that kind of a value.
Yeah.
When you're looking at someone, so like they don't look at the taxes, your property taxes.
Well, they should.
Right.
But they don't.
They don't.
So for home care, they let you keep a whopping $845 a month of income. And then that's it. So it's not even enough to pay the taxes on your home, let alone one morsel of food. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But there is a system in place that lets you use your surplus income over that level to support yourself at home when you're on Medicaid. And that's through the use of a pooled income trust.
Okay.
I have a question for you. A hypothetical case, all right? A couple has a house, let's not say Great Neck or wherever, although probably in Great Neck. They have a house that's worth $700,000. They have a pension of $40,000, and they have a Social Security income of $25,000. So they have $65,000 coming in, and maybe they have $50,000 in the bank.
Right.
Would anybody in that category be eligible? Because I'm hearing...
Well, that's a great question. So let's analyze that a little bit. And the answer is absolutely.
Okay.
But let's go over it. $700,000 house, that's fine. You could keep that home and go on home care if this is your primary residence. However, to avoid a Medicaid recovery upon death, we likely would still want to protect that home and transfer it into the Medicaid trust. So that's number one. If you have $50,000 in assets and you're only allowed to have $14,850, if you have $14,851, you're not eligible for Medicaid. So you need to bring those assets down. A couple of ways to do it. You can either transfer those assets, gift those assets to a child. That's fine. Or put it into the trust. That's fine. You could buy an irrevocable pre-need or burial trust for yourself. You could do that. You don't need a lawyer, just through a funeral home. Mm-hmm. They'll be happy to do that for you in advance, as long as it's irrevocable for Medicaid, and that's exempt. And believe it or not, if you're a little bit over, like in your example, out of the $35,000, and let's say a burial funeral is maybe $15,000 or so, you can also, you know, if you wanted to, prepay for a child or the child's spouse's funeral and burial as well. So even without gifting, with just a little bit over in your example, you can do that. But then you come to about $60,000 in income per your example.
Right.
And so let's say that's about $5,000 a month, but they only let you keep $845.
Right.
So we have to do a cost-benefit analysis. Is it worth it to apply for Medicaid? If you only need a few hours a day, I would say no, just private pay for it. But if you need 10 hours a day, that's going to financially cripple you. So yes, you can get Medicaid, even with this, in your example, $5,000 of income coming in a month. The surplus or extra income over the $845 a month will go into this pooled income trust that will let you pay for your real estate taxes. That might be a couple of thousand a month alone.
We're going to come back to this, but we have to break in a few seconds for a commercial. And I have another question, too, about planning. And when do you start planning? Certainly, you don't want to have to do this when you're in the situation at hand. So we will be right back.